Father, we ask that as we turn to you and turn to your scriptures, we ask that you would illuminate our hearts and minds. Father, would you help us to plumb the depths, even of just these few verses, but the riches that are so many here. Help us to understand and receive with open hearts. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, when I saw that we're preaching a little series on Psalm 23, it reminded me of a parody that I had read. It describes how many, you know, maybe Australians, Americans, Brits, Scots, how Westerners in general, I think, feel about life. Let me read it to you. The culture is my shepherd. I am always wanting more. I stumble from mall to mall, job to job, seeking relief but never finding any. I am trapped in the valley of the shadow of death and feel sorry for myself. I fear everything from processed food to power lines. I go down to the weekly staff meeting and am surrounded by people who seem out to get me. I go home and even the dog scowls at me. I anoint my headache with extra strength Panadol. My beer mug runneth over. Surely misery and misfortune will always be my lot, and I will live in self-doubt and pain for the rest of my lonely life. Well, that's depressing. What a joy that we get to read the actual Psalm 23 in contrast with that. Psalm 23 has been described as the pearl of the Psalms. I think Charles Spurgeon said that it was the pearl of the Psalms. It's probably the best known of the Psalms. It has healed more broken hearts than probably 1,000 poems from Shakespeare. This psalm has given courage to the disappointed and the discouraged. Psalm 23 has lifted up clouds of depression for millions. For thousands of years, it has been read and memorized. It's been read and sung in probably almost every country in this world. One preacher said, "I believe that when the Trump..." is referring to a trumpet, not a president. The 8 o'clock was confused. This preacher said that, "I believe that when the trump shall sound and the time shall be no more, King David himself will sing it for us by the crystal sea that flows from beneath the throne of God." As David, the shepherd king, who knew both joy and great sorrow, who knew both trials and great triumphs, confidence and fear, loneliness and fellowship, sinning and repenting, pain and comfort, up and down, he takes out his pen and he writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." As Simon mentioned, over the month of January, we're going to be looking at this one particular psalm, Psalm 23, and we're going to be looking at it verse by verse. And I think it's important that we urge you that you not let your familiarity of the words of the psalm rob you of the great riches of its incredible meaning. And so I think it's first important that we first look at and understand that this psalm is about the Lord. And if you were here at Christmas Eve at the 11 o'clock service, you would have heard me explain how shepherds were seen in the day when Christ was born. Shepherds were crafty and they were dishonest. They were unreliable and untrustworthy. And they had such a bad reputation that they couldn't even testify in the courts of law. So if these shepherds are such bad dudes, why is David using this to describe the Lord God? There is a massive difference between the hired hand shepherds and the owner shepherd. In John 10, as we just heard read, Jesus says that the hired hand who does not own the sheep sees a wolf coming and he leaves. And he flees. He leaves the sheep. The hired hand flees because he cares nothing for the sheep. But God Almighty is not a hired hand. He is the creator and the sustainer and the owner of the sheep. So David begins his focus on the Lord. He is my shepherd. He is my owner. He is my governor. Others may be governed by greed, but the Lord is my shepherd. He is my governor. Others may be led by lust, but the Lord is my shepherd. He is my leader. Others may be controlled by love of self, but the Lord is my shepherd. He is my leader. He is my controller. Others may be mastered by hatred and bitterness and envy, but the Lord is my shepherd. He is the master of my ship. And because my shepherd is all I want and all that I need, therefore next to him, everything else pales in comparison. In fact, there's more to it than in this verse. Here David is bragging about who his shepherd is. He is saying, when it comes to ownership of my own life, my very life, when it comes to management of my life, I have the best. We are all under some management in our life. Even the most individualistic and egotistical person is under management. You all just pictured who that person is in your mind, didn't you? He or she is under the servitude of their own ego. But my shepherd, my manager, my owner, my governor is the Lord himself. My owner is not my ego or my self-love or even my circumstances. My owner is the one who put together the billions of stars, the smallest of them is bigger than the sun. My owner is the one who puts together the trillions of microorganisms in the world, and every one of them functions under his command. My owner is the one who put together the most perfect laws for the galaxies to function perfectly and flawlessly. My owner is the one who can truly claim ownership because he is the one who created us. And yet there are millions of people around this world who will deny his ownership over themselves. But it doesn't change the fact that he is still the owner. Bob Dylan wrote the song, Gotta Serve Somebody, when he had some sort of Christian experience. I'm not sure the depths of that, but here are a few lines from what I would consider a powerful song. You may be a construction worker working on a home. You may be living in a mansion. You might be living in a dome. You might own guns. That's none of you. And you might even own tanks. You might be somebody's landlord. You might even own banks. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes? Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. The Lord is my shepherd. He not only owns me by the virtue of his creating me, but when he became man, he so magnanimously took upon himself the burden of restoring the broken relationship between myself and God. He died on a cross for me. He redeemed me. He paid the price to rescue me from eternal death. No wonder Jesus and Jesus alone could say in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd. I am the shepherd who dies for the sheep. I am the shepherd who perfectly cares for the sheep. When it comes to ownership, I have the best, David says. People foolishly reject him. And they put themselves on the throne of their own lives. Many would claim that they are their own shepherds. And they are their own masters of their own destiny. And they don't know what they're missing out on. Jesus is the only one who could say, I am the good shepherd. No bishop, no pastor could say, I am a good shepherd. We are all flawed. Jesus alone could have said that. He was born in that nasty, dirty feeding trough for animals in Bethlehem. Yet he had the divine dignity of his heavenly royalty. He didn't have some of the special breaks that kids had in his day, and yet he had the highest standard of human conduct. While he was gentle and tender, he was righteous and couldn't stand phony people or hypocrites. He was gracious in his forgiveness toward weak and fallen people, and yet he didn't tolerate double talk or false pretenses. The Lord is my good shepherd. That's what David says. I am.